We are joined once again on the Green by contributor Larry Nangas this week, telling us about the Delaware Help Initiative and what it is doing in various municipalities around the state to help shine a light on making communities safer. Larry, we appreciate you taking some time to join us on the Green this week.
Happy to be here, Tom.
So let's start with the Delaware Help Initiative. What's its mission? Who are its leaders?
Well, the Delaware Help Initiative is a fairly new nonprofit organization. It was created 4 years ago. It's based in Dover. And its mission is to improve the health and safety of low-income individuals and their families by showing and providing them with healthy home best practices so that they can keep their utilities bills manageable and maintain a good quality of life. The founders and the key staff members of this nonprofit are Harold Stafford, who was once Delaware Secretary of Labor, and Charles Kistler, who has spent about 30 years managing complex government-funded projects, primarily in the information technology and physical security areas.
And the project that they're doing that you focused on is the Lights On Initiative. It's something they've been working on for a few years. Tell us a little bit about what that is and how did it get started?
Well, Lights On got started 3 years ago in early 2017, and it's part of the Reviving Central Dover Community Revitalization Project. That effort had many pieces, including the nonprofits Habitat for Humanity and NCAL. We're building and rehabilitating more than 20 houses in the Dover area, and there are various other economic development revitalization pieces as well. Anyhow, Kistler and Stafford went to one of the committee meetings for the project, and they learned that one of the issues that that concerned the people in Dover was this high incidence of crime in poorly lit neighborhoods. So they pitched the idea that they developed to Mayor Robin Christensen. The idea here is really pretty simple. You go replace the old incandescent bulbs that most people have on the lights on their front porches with energy efficient LED lights, and then in the back of the homes install solar powered motion detectors. The goal here was again pretty simple: better lighting, improved safety, and at a very low cost to residents. They wound up doing installations in about 350 houses in central Dover, in the area just north of the downtown business district.
And your story notes that Lights On kind of relies on community buy-in. What do residents need to commit to as part of this? And your piece suggests that initially it might have been the easiest thing to get people on board right away, right?
Well, as with many free offers, there is usually a string attached, and this one's a pretty simple string. In return for receiving the LED bulbs and the motion detectors, the residents had to agree that they would keep these lights on at night, and that they would tell their neighbors about the project, and if they noticed any suspicious activity in their neighborhood, in their yard, whatever, that they would call the police. Now, there was, of course, some hesitation at the start. Certainly in any number of low-income communities in various parts of the state, probably lots of places around the country, you do have people who are suspicious of calling the police and cooperating with the police and so on. So, there was a little bit of hesitation at the start, but it took a couple of weeks and residents realized what was going on. They saw that the Lights On team was really interested in improving their neighborhood. And after a while, the residents would start coming up to the work crews, and we found this in Dover and the other cities and towns where they worked, and they would ask the work crews, when are they going to get around to putting in the LED lights on my block? So, it took a while, but once they became familiar with the project, it really started to take off.
Well, you kind of alluded to it just there, that the program has expanded to well beyond Dover now. Where has it been added over time, and what have some of those projects looked like?
Well, okay, in Seaford, the people in Seaford, the city council, and so on, heard about what was going on in Dover, and they invited the Help Initiative to set up a Lights On program there. And they installed something like 450 sets of lights and motion detectors in homes, and 450 homes on the city's west side. After that, the momentum would build a little bit more, and there were similar campaigns in Milford, and then Laurel, and then Georgetown. Last fall, the project moved north and started work on Wilmington's west side September, October of last year. But the COVID-19 pandemic brought that to a halt in March. Work there on Wilmington's west side resumed this week. Meanwhile, the Help Initiative, with support from the Newcastle County Police, has installed LED lights and motion detectors in both Edgemoor Gardens and Knollwood, two communities in Brandywine Hundred that have experienced some crime problems in recent years, and in Knollwood's case, going back a good many years.
So what's some of the feedback the program has gotten from these various places where it's been put in place?
Well, the people who have received the LED lights and the motion detectors are happy, and so are the officials in the cities and the towns that have been served. Lighting improves the appearance of the community, residents feel safer, and they're also reaping the benefits of lower utility bills. Might also mention, when I talked to Robin Christensen, the Dover mayor, he points out that by improving these communities, it does a lot of other things and has a snowball effect, making the community safer, makes Dover look better overall, and that helps him and the rest of the city government when they're pitching the city as a site for new businesses to locate as well.
So part of this, obviously, we've talked about is making communities safer. Is there any solid data on if it's achieving that goal of reducing crime in these neighborhoods, in these municipalities?
Yes, there is. I did talk to an officer in the Milford Police Department, which was one of the first places where they did some tracking, where they did some crime maps and overlays of the areas that were targeted for the lighting installations. And the Milford police officer offered me some numbers that showed that the incidence of some crimes had dropped in the targeted neighborhoods over the last 3 years. Now, of course, we are talking about a relatively small sample size here, and in addition, with the COVID-19 during 2020, people's lifestyles and habits have changed a little bit, so it becomes a little bit difficult to take the data that's available and make strong conclusions from it. But the Milford officer did make a couple of interesting points. Thefts and incidents of criminal mischief are down, which would indicate that the lighting has some deterrent effect. In addition to that, people are getting more calls about suspicious activities and more reports about missing property being found. Again, this is something that can be attributed to the fact that there is better lighting in the community. Now, Dover's mayor did tell me that crime there hasn't dropped nearly as much as they had hoped, but still, conditions overall have improved enough for the city that they consider the project a success. On Wilmington's west side, there's no data yet, but the community leaders that I spoke to say that the residents do feel more secure and that they are also showing more pride in their neighborhoods.
So let's talk a little bit more about Wilmington's west side that you just mentioned. The program is wrapping up its COVID-delayed work there. Your piece suggests that it fits in with some other things that are being done on the west side of Wilmington. How does Lights On fit in with the overall effort to address crime and security and safety there?
Well, about 7 years ago, there was a coalition of organizations that formed a revitalization plan that's known as West Side Grows Together. And there have been a lot of improvements in the area as a result of this revitalization project. We've had new traffic patterns on Union Street, new facades on the businesses on Union Street and on Union Street and Lincoln Street. Several parks have been upgraded, a few more are planned. There have been a number of mural projects projects as well in the area. Lights On helps meet another need, and we know we've talked about this in the other communities here, improving lighting. And for Lights On, they focused in the area around Judy Johnson Park, which is near 3rd and DuPont Streets. And the lighting project stretched onto 4th Street as well. And 4th Street, as many people know, is a main artery leading into and out of Wilmington's downtown district. On 4th Street, there's also been a separate program that has involved installation of security cameras on about 25 businesses on 4th Street on the west side. That combination of lights and cameras is something that's going to translate into more safety, better security for both residents and business owners in that 4th Street corridor.
Your piece also notes that the HELP Initiative offers more than just these lights and motion detectors. What else do they provide to the neighborhoods they're working in?
Okay, well, they do a lot of little things, some of them on the inside of homes. For example, they will replace the aerators that are on the kitchen and bathroom faucets, and with the new aerators make it possible to use a little bit less water. And so that's help save on water bills. They also install water saving shower heads. They check the heat settings on water heaters as well to make sure that you've got it set at the proper temperature, that it's not too hot, and to make sure that the heaters are operating efficiently. If residents want some of these LED lights to go in their lights, their lamps, their indoor fixtures, they'll provide them as well. Help Initiative also has a subcontractor that will do free energy audits, and the program will help residents find contractors to make any repairs that are recommended through these audits, and assist them in securing loans and grants to make those improvements. So it's become a multifaceted project that works in depth to help low-income families make their homes safer and more efficient.
So you mentioned money. I'm curious about the funding for this. How do they make this happen financially?
Okay, well, the cost per home isn't all that great when you think about it. They estimate that installing the motion detectors and the LED lights and the aerators and so on costs about $100 per home. So it's not a big expense when they're getting these supplies at bulk pricing. Now, sometimes the cities where the installations occur have funding available through grants or through their own budgets, but most of the funding comes through another Delaware profit, Energize Delaware, which in turn gets most of its money through something called the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative. I'm not going to get into all the details of how that works, but in any case, there's a nice flow of funding there that will keep this project going. For some of the bigger projects, the things that might be identified through the energy audits, things like if a home needs insulation or if it needs repairing or replacing a heating system, several state agencies have grant programs that tap into federal funding that can reduce the cost of those improvements as well.
So let's wrap up by asking this. The work of the HELP Initiative looks like it's a pretty good example of how doing some little things can have a bigger impact. What's next for the organization? What are they looking to do?
I can't really say for sure in which direction that they're going to head. I mean, certainly there are other towns, especially in Kent and Sussex counties, that might benefit from one of these projects. And the same goes for neighborhoods inside the city of Wilmington. And in the suburbs, the fact that they've gone into Edgemoor Gardens and Knollwood certainly suggests that there may be many other areas that the county police might help them identify where there could be community benefits to a project like this. The HELP Initiative leadership seems more than willing to try to help other communities that reach out to them. And now this addition of these other services, these repairs and improvements that have been identified through the energy audits, show that the organization also wants to increase and intensify its impact. Now, whether it's working on more communities or working more intensely in the areas that it's already serving, there's one thing that I think we can be pretty sure about. So many families are hurting because of the pandemic, and many of these government supports that were created earlier this year are expected to expire in the next month or so. So I think it's pretty safe to say that there are going to be plenty of opportunities for the HELP initiative to extend its helping hand to many, many communities up and down the state.
All right, Larry Nightengast, as always, we appreciate your time. We appreciate your reporting. Thanks for being with us on The Green again this week.
Quite welcome, Tom.